So we continue to journey with one another and to journey with God into the book of Jeremiah. And as I pointed out last week, Eugene Peterson calls him one of those great mentors that he's had in life. And he just lifts up and celebrates all the lessons that he's learned along the way from him in his book, Running with the Horses. Today we're going to go back to chapter 1 of Jeremiah and just look at how the book starts and look at what we can really learn about Jeremiah's life and reflect a little bit on our own at the same time. I want to begin by sharing with you those first five. Actually, I'm going to share with you, I think it's the first five verses of Jeremiah chapter 1. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anatoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. May God continue to bless His Word as we share in this time together. And may God's Holy Spirit continue to open our hearts and our minds to those things that we need to learn in order to grow in the grace and knowledge of the love of our God. I want to talk a little bit this morning about names. The beginning of Jeremiah starts with all kinds of names. There's names of people, there's names of places. And like all those other lists, whether they're long or short of names in the Bible, sometimes we just want to jump over them and go on to the next thing because it seems like, what's the point? What does it all mean? And we could spend an entire couple of hours just talking about that, what all these names mean and how they come together. And maybe someday we will, but rest easy, we're not going to this morning. So you can breathe easy. Because there's a couple of other things that we need to draw from here, I think, as we begin to think about Jeremiah's life. When you think about it, all of our history is recorded and wrapped up in names. Whether it's national history, whether it's personal family history, whether it's the history of the world, whether it's the biblical history that we read in so many of the books of the Bible. It's recorded in the names of people, places, and events. And when we hear those names, it brings to mind all kinds of stories. Think about people in your own life. Think of their names for just a minute. People that have been important to you over the years. What stories fill your mind? What stories just instantly pop into your head as you think of that person? No matter what season of their life they came from, whether it's somebody you're walking with now or somebody that's been a part of other seasons of your life. Names open the doors, open the windows actually, for us to make connections with people. When we meet people, that's one of the first things that we normally exchange. If we're going to really take the time to have any kind of a connection or any type of relationship, we exchange names. It's important to people. It says something to people when we're remembering their name. It touches us in a special way when somebody remembers our name. Because it's names that really bring us into that next place of a deeper relationship. When we come together in things like marriage, or even renewing vows like we did today, we just don't say this person and that person. We don't just point to this one and point to that one. No. We call them by name. Names are an important part of our life. They say a lot about a person. And you know, naming is a gift that was given by God all the way back in the beginning. We sang in Psalm 8 about how is it that God could be so mindful of man and put man in such a high place of respect and authority that all the birds and all the beasts and all the fish, that man would be able to rule over them. Not in a way that they'd mess up and destroy the world, which we do in many cases when our own needs, our own greed, our own selfishness gets in the way. But we get to rule over it in a way that we're stewards of and care for them in a special way. In the first part of caring for all of creation, God gave Adam and Eve the ability to name all those creatures. Imagine what that must have been like, looking out over the plains, looking down into the seas, picking a name. And what those names meant, I have no clue to those that were doing at that point. You know, how did I connect the name of the giraffe with the giraffe? How did the name of the zebra get connected with the zebra? Where did the octopus come up with a name like that? Names are an important part of history and of our lives. Our parents take incredible time looking and thinking about life, thought about us as we were born into the world and named us intentionally for all kinds of different reasons. Many of us here have had that privilege and that opportunity and gone through that great struggle of naming children. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I look back on the life of Allie and Will, when I think of that moment before, those moments before their birth and after their birth, trying to come up with just the right name. And it was a time when books were out about names and you could look through them and see what different traits were often connected to names. And when we name people, it's a way of hoping in many ways. You know, sometimes we name children after somebody else in the family. Somebody else generations past, they have traits, they have pieces of their character that, boy, we want our kids to have that. So there's a name for them. And then there's those strange reasons for naming people that you're thrown in there. I think of a young man that went through life after being named by an alcoholic father, really struggling with his name. His name was Sue. Anybody remember that? Johnny Cash sang about him in a very vivid way. And he went through all of his life upset and torn apart because his name was Sue. And his vividly paints that picture at the end of the song as this boy finally meets his father and they're rolling around in the blood and the mud and the beer out in front. How could you have named me Sue? Do you remember why he did? Why? So he'd be able to fight his way through life. His father knew he wasn't going to be there. So he was going to have to be a fighter in life. Now I'm not saying that's a healthy or a right reason to name a child. But I am saying that there's a deliberate and important process that's involved in naming. And Jeremiah, his parents wrestled and struggled with who he would be. But it's God who doesn't wrestle and doesn't struggle with who Jeremiah would be. And he says right here in that chapter 5, he says, you know, before I even knew you, or before you were even born, as you were being shaped and formed in the womb, I knew you. He knew what his name would be. He knew what his life would hold. He knew what it was going to be like for him. And God says, yeah, in the middle of all of that, I was there. And I'm still here with you today. I was here with you when you were born into the world, as we hear in a couple more chapters. And then as he begins to really get into the tough times that he's living in, God says, yeah, I'm still here with you. You don't need to be afraid, even though the world seems to be falling apart, being turned upside down. You've been given a name. You're a prophet. Not only to a certain group of people, not to a tribe of people, not to a city filled with people, not to half a nation of people, but a prophet to all the nations. He'd be a mentor to people all down through the ages. When people think about your name, what do you think comes to mind? When you think back to when you were born, and I know we don't remember that in a cognitive and sort of way, but I wonder, what were your parents thinking? What were they hoping for as they named you? When you think about those in your life that you named, your children, as you maybe talked with your own children about your grandchildren being named. Maybe even in the naming of a pet. You know, we name pets as well if you haven't named children. What were your hopes and dreams that were wrapped up in those names? What would the future hold for them that was brought to life in that that is so much more than a word that will be recorded in history? Because it brings to mind the very essence of who that person is. The very essence of who you are. What about us as a church? Bristol Federated Church. What images come to mind with that name? What things are brought for you? Anybody want to share one? And togetherness. Good word there. Anybody else that it brings up something for? Family. What's that? Flexible. Yep. Flexible family. Yeah. Family is that place where God teaches us how to be flexible, isn't it? And sometimes not in an easy way. Sometimes through difficult times. Engaging. Joe.
I believe we ran a lot in my life. And I've always found that it's very comfortable to be able to go to the church and find immediately a group of places.
Yes. Yes. Place where you can find friends, where you can connect. Place where people are going to learn your name. Where you get to learn the names of others. It's an important part of being community, isn't it? How about that word federated? What does that mean to you? What does it mean to be a federated church? Join together, yeah? Jeanette, what were you saying? This is the same thing, yeah, joining together. Inclusive, yeah. Yeah, the best of many things gets brought into that federation. I looked up the word federated just to see what it brought to mind, and it talks about a group of states or organizations that come together and agree to submit themselves to one authority. And isn't that what we're called to be in the church? Isn't that when you go all the way back to the beginning? Isn't that what the church is all about? It was a group of family. It was a group of friends. It was a group of neighbors. It was a group of people that came from all kinds of different places that may or may not have known each other beforehand. And they all agreed to submit themselves. To submit themselves to the authority. To whose authority? The authority of Jesus Christ. That Paul lifts up in so many ways, in so many images, talking about the church as a body, and talking about Christ as being the head, and being in charge, and being over it all, and being in it all, and being through it all. And that's who we're called to be, as a church, and a federation, and a coming together. Group of churches, a couple of churches, you know, the United Methodist Church and the United Church of Christ, coming together and saying, yes, we can. God wants us to be in ministry together. And so we're going to put aside the way that we've done things before, and we're going to come together in this new way of being. And out of that, God gave birth to the Federated Church. And that's continued to, you know, we continue to grow in what that means. And of course, what that means changes all through the years. But there's a lot that's woven into a name when we stop and think about it. So as we go forward into this week, I want to challenge you to really engage in thinking about your own name, thinking about where God meets you and where God's been reflected in that name through your life, thinking about other names that are important to you in life and giving thanks to God for them, thinking about the name of the church and what it means to you, what it means to our community, what it means to the lives of people who surround us every day. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of names. And we thank you that you know each and every one of us by name, and you call us by name, that we might know that we are your children, that we might know that we are loved with an everlasting love, that we might come to you and trust you with all that we are and all that we will be. But Lord, I thank you that you choose to meet each and every one of us where we're at today. And we pray that you'd help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your love, and how it helps us to be who we are today. We look forward to how we would see how you're at work in this church and have been at work in this church all down through the ages. As we explore and look at the life of Jeremiah and the way he worked and lived out his life in the community so many years ago. So to you be the glory, Lord, now and forever, as we offer these things up to you, looking forward to what you and you alone can do. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.